Glad to have you here tonight. We're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then Brother Mike up here, Mike Goble, is going to be our song leader tonight, and we've got two hymns. Now, I will say this, in the bulletin, if you have a bulletin, you look at the schedule tonight, we do not have special music, so just before the preaching, we're going to have a time of testimony, all right? We didn't have Sunday school today. We often give testimonies during Sunday school, and so this will be a good time. We're going to try to just keep it right at testimonies, only if you have a testimony. Word of praise, word of thank you. It may tie in with just the resurrection, something about that. Maybe the Lord has just impressed something upon your heart. Maybe the Lord is just, maybe you look back and you had a Easter Sunday or something about the resurrection played a role in you coming to know Christ, or a decision or a life change for your family. So if you have a testimony in that area, or maybe the Lord just blessed you and you just want to share a praise, you be ready for that. We'll have a microphone ready. And that'll be right before the message after that last hymn, all right? All right, I'll let you stay seated here while I pray. And then after that, grab a hymn, we'll begin our singing tonight. Father, thank you again. What a beautiful day you've given us here on this Lord's Day, on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful privilege we've had to assemble together. Opportunity, Lord, to be in your house among God's people, in the Word of God. Lord, reminding each of us about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that even though tomorrow is a Monday and the months move on and we get into summertime perhaps, Lord, I pray that the resurrection would be as fresh in our hearts and minds as it is even today. Lord, it's been a blessing to sort of scroll a little bit on some social media and just see a lot of friends and family, Lord, around the United States as they have their pictures of their family, maybe taking an Easter picture, Lord, at church, and just to see folks praising the Lord that He has risen. And Lord, that's an encouragement and a blessing. I trust that each person here tonight, Lord, has a testimony of knowing Christ as their Savior, can look back at a time, whether it was years and years ago or perhaps even this year, where they recognized the fact that they were a sinner. They realized that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for their sins and the sins of the whole world, and gave himself on the cross, shed his blood, died, was buried, and rose again. And Lord, there was a time where they received that salvation, that free gift, by calling upon the Lord, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that has never done that, if there's someone tonight that would go to bed tonight and yet be a little bit afraid, unsure about what would happen if they died, fearful about what would happen after death, not sure if they would go to heaven. Lord, if there's someone here that knows that and they're just resisting the Holy Spirit, rejecting the free gift, Lord, I pray tonight, even in the service, Lord, you'd convict them of that, draw them to you. May they yield to the Holy Spirit and receive salvation, even tonight. And then, Lord, for those of us who are saved, we know how easy it is to get comfortable, Lord, how easy it is just to get into a Christian rut, just to get in the habit of just coming to church and going about our business during the week. And, Lord, I pray that you'd shake us out of that if there's anyone here tonight that has fallen into a spiritual rut of complacency, of comfortability, Lord, of just apathy. Lord, keep it fresh in our hearts. Let the gospel story never get old. Let us be intentional about sharing the gospel with others, Lord, even this week. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your death, your resurrection. We look forward to your soon return. It could even be tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, grab.
All right, we're going to sing number 239. We'll stand to sing It Is Finished, number 239. Long ago I saw my Savior bearing shame upon a tree. Then my heart was touched with sorrow, for I saw He bled for me. Christ
my Savior called to heaven as I saw his love anew. Oh, my Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished, loud he cried. Oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary. Once for all, Christ rescued me. Free salvation now he offers. Take his gift, oh, hear his plea. On the bloody cross behold him, join his shout of victory. It is finished, loud he cried. Know what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary. Once for all, Christ rescued me.
All right, you may be seated. Mythical fountain of youth that men used to go looking for. So much better to be drinking from the springs of living water. I mean, you get rejuvenated every time with the Lord. All right, we're going to go to number 269, In the Garden. While we're turning to that, I'll do the first testimony, and it's not for me. It's Buddy Kramer was accepted Christ as his Savior on an Easter Sunday. And I remember he would give that testimony every Easter, so... Buddy's not here. There you go, buddy. All right, 269, you can stay seated for In the Garden.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the rose. And
We were going to have a brief time of testimony. You may want to give a testimony about our spring revival services. Perhaps God worked in your heart about through a message that Evangelist Caleb Reed preached. Maybe a testimony concerning today. Maybe a testimony concerning Easter Sundays or Resurrection Sundays in the past. Maybe just a general praise that God is good. And you say, hey, I just want to take time here today on this Resurrection Sunday, the Lord's Day, and give a praise to God and how much I love, whatever it may be. So Mike's back there. He's got the mic. All right. Mike with the mic, and he's ready for someone else tonight. Who wants to start us off? Just a time of testimony. We won't go long here. And there's Mr. Joel back there who's going to start us off. Good to see Joel. Hope you'll keep him in your prayers, recovering from some surgeries.
The night when the men were bowling was at November. I made the comment to Pastor about being joyful in my infirmaries. Well, I think God took that as a dare or whatever you want to, however you want to phrase it, because come the depths of January and it was cold and everybody gets low in January. Well, my emotionally, I was really low. Physically, I was low, and spiritually, I was low. But people keep asking me how I'm doing. Well, I'm going to have to change my response and say physically and emotionally, I've been a whole lot better, but spiritually, I've never been closer to the Lord.
Amen.
And thank you for that. It's a tough struggle. The Apostle Paul had his thorn in the flesh that the Lord never relieved. This may be mine, I don't know. But the one thing that I do appreciate, too, is all the people that I know that are praying for me, and I do appreciate it. And just thank the Lord for what he's given me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joel. Thank you for sharing that. Praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for him and encourage him in the Lord, as we all need that. Good. Word of testimony, word of praise. We have one back here. All right.
Good to be with you tonight. Just want to report that God was gracious this morning, and we saw a man, middle-aged man, come to know Christ as his Savior today with tears rolling down his cheeks. And so
Amen. We
praise the Lord for that. And I was there when Buddy got saved. I could still see him. I could still see him coming out of the aisle.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well,
how many years?
10 years we had been praying and witnessing to Buddy. And he's a bit stubborn. But he would come to church with Nancy, his wife, and he would sit in a pew about, she would sit maybe a third of the way up, smaller building, of course. And as I was preaching, I could see him, body language, start to get interested and involved in the gospel. And then I would inevitably say something that he didn't like, and he would sit back and fold his arms, and then we wouldn't see him for 6 months. Nancy asked if we could have a Bible study in the house, that maybe when he got home from work, he would stay. We held the Bible study in her house, and he didn't come home. So we had 10 years of that repetitiveness over and over and over again. And then on that Easter Sunday morning, I have no idea what smote his heart that particular day, but without hesitation, at the first invitation. He got out of his pew, walked down the aisle without any embarrassment whatsoever, grabbed me by the hand, and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, put a pack of cigarettes in my hand. For what reason, I have no idea. But anyway, he never picked him up again, to my knowledge. And praise the Lord for a good guy. You know, we praise God for that. And don't give up praying for somebody. Nancy faithfully prayed. Chris faithfully prayed. We faithfully prayed. Others faithfully prayed that the Lord would bring him to himself. And Buddy trusted Christ on his way to heaven.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Whoever gets old to rehash those testimonies, things like that. Good. I think Miss Sue had a hand up here. We'll get Mike, get his steps in here. And don't forget to pray for Mike. Mike has a procedure this week on the 24th. All right.
My daughter's keeping my step count up.
Katie's watching over him. All right, Miss Sue.
Okay, this is kind of an ongoing thing. Isabella's team down in Philadelphia. There's a young lady there who had asked us at the beginning of last fall about reading the Bible and how to get started and things. So I took several copies of John and Romans down to the team, and I was able to get a hold of her after one of the games, and she was sitting with a few other of the team members, and I gave her a copy of that. A couple of the girls were snickering and, you know, what is this about, blah, blah, blah. I said, don't laugh, because you all are next. Well, I guess Isabella talks to her quite a bit also, which makes me quite proud of the fact that she's doing that in the, under those circumstances. But 2 weeks ago, after one of their games, there were a whole bunch of people around, parents, everybody, and this girl ran up to me and put her arms around me and said, I found Jesus. And I didn't have a chance to get a hold of her and say, wait a minute, what do you mean by that? Because there were tons of people around, and the girls were, you know, saying, come on, we're doing this, or come on, we're doing that. But at that point, John in Romans is doing some work down there. The Lord is doing some work down there anyway, and installing some seeds in some of those girls' minds. So I praise God.
Amen.
For that.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Exciting to hear. Good. Very good, very good. Anyone else a word of testimony? I tell you what, if we could put Kelly in the spot. Kelly, give us an update on your brother. I know some of you saw the prayer chain there. Kathy had said, hey, praise the Lord, Jeffrey's doing much, much better. But some of you may still wonder how he's doing.
Yeah. Well, we're thankful that last week we got, you know, I think he just really had that stomach bug that was going around. So we're thankful that we got together this afternoon with him and my other brother. And so he's doing better. So it's like complete 180. So we're very thankful for that.
Okay, great. All right, I was able to get with him today. Praise the Lord for that. Super. All right, anyone else? Last opportunity. God, you have a testimony. The Holy Spirit sort of prompts your heart. You're like, oh, I don't know. Anything? Word of praise? Word of testimony? Anything else here? Mike, you got a, okay.
Going back to my father-in-law, since, in case some of you don't know, the buddy that they're talking about is my father-in-law. And, of course, took care of my wife. So, you know, I mean, she's saved also, and God did all kinds of stuff to get the two of us together, and part of it would have been my father-in-law's salvation. So,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. All right. One step like that can change a whole course. Very good. All right. Thank you for those testimonies. Last opportunity, unless you're going to disobey, if they say the Holy Spirit, if I don't say it, I'm going to disobey the Holy Spirit. We don't want that to happen. Thank you for those. All right. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Thank you for those who shared, and I pray that you'll be always willing to do that. It is good to have my mom up. Some of you know my mom by now, all right? And mom's 80, but in good health. God's kept her in good health. She's still able to drive up and down, so it's good to have her here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Going to head back home tomorrow. Oh, we're coming right back down. We're going to be spending the night at her house after the Servant's Heart Shady Maple, all right? So we've been going back and forth. It's nice to be fairly close after, what, 26 years of being down south, always 9 to 13 hours away. So good to be able to do that and enjoying that time. It's good to have Jen and Cameron here. They left this afternoon, head back to Lancaster, but it was good to see them. Hard to believe they'll be married 1 year next month. All right. Some of you were at the wedding like, wow, that was a year ago. It's amazing how fast time moves. Acts chapter 1 tonight. rather than go back to our normal Sunday night series on Jacob, Path to Brokenness, we're going to pick that up again next Sunday night. Obviously, it's Easter, it's Resurrection Sunday, so felt led to just continue with one more similar theme if you were with us at all. If you weren't with us and you have a desire, you can always go back on the church website. Or the church YouTube channel. Just if you're not sure how to do that, it's very simple. Independent Bible Church or IBC of Duryea, you know, click, all right, or YouTube, it'll bring it up. And look for the date, and you can always go back. You can listen to Caleb Reed messages. You can go back for several years, different people, different times. If you weren't able to be with us for the sunrise service, it sort of challenged the folks a little bit different, and sort of looking at what really transpired that Sunday morning, that early morning, an exact order there, and things like that. And then obviously many of you are with us this morning on what if Jesus had not risen. So tonight I just want to challenge us with this question, and I don't want you to give an answer out, but I do want you to answer right as soon as you hear this in the quietness of your heart and mind. If I had you, to, young and old, if I had you write this down on a 3x5 card, and I said I'm going to give you 2 minutes, write it down, we're going to collect them, and I'm going to read these, I would like you to honestly, if you could write, you know, in your mind, you could write it down if you like to do that, and you're taking notes or you've got your bulletin there. Answer this question and try to answer it in not a long answer, but not an extremely short answer, but in enough to be able to fully explain it. My title is, Just What is the Gospel? Just what is the gospel? We're going to tie that in, obviously, with Resurrection Sunday here and what Christ did on the cross. But just what is the gospel? If someone said that to you, just what is the gospel? Or someone at your work or one of your neighbors, you're outside, you know, doing flowers as the weather's getting warmer. And they came up and did small talk and they said, you know, maybe you know your neighbors well, maybe you don't. But maybe they observe you and they see that you seem to be gone a lot on Sundays and you dress a little different. So they assume you must be a church person. Or maybe they do know because you've tried to invite them to things. And maybe they know that you're, you know, whatever their word is, religious or spiritual or whatever. And so what if they, normally we have to engage people. You know, we have to take the offensive in a way and sort of ask people. But what if one of your neighbors or one of your relatives who happened to come by or one of your coworkers or someone you ran into from years ago, you used to be in school with, and in the conversation, they just said, hey, I know that you're religious or spiritual or you go to that church and you know a lot more than me. I got a question for you. What is the gospel? And they laid that right there on you. What is the gospel? Now, that's not going back to what I didn't even have any thought to what Raul gave a testimony a week or two ago at any form until I just thought of it right now. So some of you might know what I'm talking about. So we had a visitor come a couple weeks back, and a gentleman that I talked to a little bit, and he assured me he was saved. And in fact, had been in the ministry, but he, you know, as for a visitor, he came to our luncheon, our dinner on the grounds, our potluck. And then if you remember him, and he sat right between, he was with the Ebleys. I'm not sure who all the Ebleys were at that table. It might have been Joel and Raul. And now, number one, it's unusual for a visitor to stay for things like that, all right, because people are uncomfortable and you don't know anybody. And there's a whole other thing to just plop yourself down at a full table between two people you don't know. Now, very few people even in this church would do that, all right, much less a visitor. And then the man took it even farther. And no, I don't believe he was an angel, all right. The man took it even farther. He turned to Raul and said, and I'm paraphrasing, what's the gospel? Can you share the gospel with me? Now, Raul, like most of us, were probably not ready for that. You know, and he shared that testimony the other day in Sunday school that God used that to really sort of, you know, say, oh, hey, you need to do better with that, or you need to be ready. You were sort of talking about God. And you may have never had anybody do that. But if someone said, hey, well, what's the gospel? I think you're religious. I see you go to church a lot. Someone handed me this pamphlet the other day, and maybe they pass out. And I don't know what it means, but I'm going to ask you, what's the gospel? Could you tell them? Maybe you'd say, well, that word means good news. And they say, okay, I know that. What's the good news? What would you say to them? What would your answer be? I'll give you some time there. I won't call on you. I won't put you on the spot. But everybody, unless you're a brand new believer, should be ready to answer that. Just what is the gospel? What is the gospel? You know, today's the day where even people that aren't religious, if we want to use that word, not that that's anything special, but they obviously notice
that there's lots of people going to church and there's things that are on media and friends and family posting things. So people are, even a person that's not a church person probably is aware of all of that and reads posts and sees pictures and sees things and church signs and knows all of that. And so they may be more aware today than other days. Just what is the gospel? Just what is the gospel? Well, you know, the word gospel, many of you know, in the English is gospel or good news, but in the Greek, it is the form of the word. Again, how we pronounce this is a little different. The idea is evangelium, where we get our English words evangelist, or a young lady's name, Evangeline, or we talk about going on evangelism. Hey, we're going to have an evangelism course. Or when's the last time you've been involved in evangelism? Hey, we're going to have an evangelist come. All of those are based off that form of the word, which means good news, good message, great message. An evangelist is one called of God to preach the gospel, the good message. An evangelism class, or we want to teach personal evangelism, is teaching how we as believers can share the good news, the gospel, with those that may never have heard. That's the very form of the word. We know that Mark 16:15, Christ, after his resurrection, said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, that hadn't been said before Calvary and the resurrection. If you remember, it was only go to the lost sheep of Israel. But then once Christ paid for the sins of the world and all mankind, the message changed. Go ye into all the world and preach, proclaim, herald the gospel. That must be important if God commanded us to share the gospel with everybody. And he wants it to go to every corner of the globe. Now, I love getting emails from missionaries. You know, we can't always have everybody in for different reasons, but I enjoy getting those. And, hey, I'm glad to hear there's still people going out there, and many of them are from conservative mission boards that are like-minded. And so, boy, I look back, and sometimes I feel, I can't get everybody in. Maybe the dates don't coincide, or we're headed to Iceland. That's awesome. Iceland. I mean, God wants folks in Iceland to hear the gospel. Hey, we're headed to Ghana. Wow, God wants folks in Ghana to hear the gospel. Hey, we're headed over here to Chile. God wants folks to, it's the intent of God that the gospel, the good news, be preached and proclaimed to every corner. Now, that's the question of, but what's the gospel? I got an email just today, right before lunch. We're getting ready to Easter lunch, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I said, I got an email from John Paul Jones. He said, I've heard that name before. Well, not you don't know this guy, though, all right? I thought, that's awesome. I know exactly who that is. I said, one of our mission trips we went on when I was youth pastor, we took a group of teens to England. And Temple, we supported a missionary named John Jones. John Jones and his wife, and they had two children, Grace and John Paul. This was like 2008, I think. I have to look back, maybe 2011. So we went over to England, and we ran a Bible school. They call it, instead of Bible school, they call it a holiday club instead of vacation Bible school, and did a lot of stuff. And we got to go to Wales, over the country of Wales one day, and John Paul was the young man that was leading us all around. And there was tons of people on this dock because it's a tourist thing in Wales, and we got separated, and nobody could find John Paul. All right? And I haven't seen their family since we went on that mission trip, but I got an email from John Paul Jones, who's not a little kid anymore. He graduated from Bible college. He's married. He has two children, and God and his wife and family are headed. They want to go. God's called them to go to Alaska to the native Alaskans. I can't remember the exact area up there. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I hope we can get them in. He gave me some dates later in the year. And that's exciting. Hey, God wants the gospel to go to even that little village or that little place in a very remote area that may only have a few hundred people. Go and preach and proclaim the gospel. So just what is the good news? Now, would you be able to answer that? If I said to you, when's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? No, Now, you may have shared it, and you may be a young believer, and so this is, could I give you a gospel track? Maybe you say that. A lot of times it's good to say this. Hey, could I give you some good news? I say that a lot. Have you had any good news lately? Because I've got some for you. Or if you want to ask people and say, hey, how you doing today? Good. Going through the checkout line, right? And you might say, hey, have you heard any good news you can share with me? They might be like, oh, I've got some for you. Yeah. We call these gospel tracts. Now, these aren't the end-all, the answer to everything. They are gospel tracts in a small form where you give the good news. Maybe I'll just ask you this. When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? Maybe you did today. Maybe you went to lunch and you left it there as a tip. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you intentionally try to hand them to somebody and say some things. When's the last time you, in verbal form, attempted to give the gospel out personally and verbally to somebody? You might say, oh, I really can't remember the last time. I hope there's been a time. If not, how about we start even today? All right, just what exactly is the good news? If I said, could you give me a verse in the Bible? Could you quote a verse that would sum up the good news? Probably some of you might say John 3:16. I mean, isn't that the good news? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. I mean, that's good news. Maybe that's the verse you'd give. Maybe you'd quote Romans 5:8. Many of you have memorized that. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, that's good news. Does that verse give the whole gospel? You say, well, part of it. Maybe you quote Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news. You'd be right. Maybe some of you would quote our memory verse from a few months back. 1 Timothy 1:15. For this is I'm trying to remember it here. Help me out. There we go. Thank you. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I'm chief. Wow, that's the gospel, right? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Mike, you get bonus points, all right? Thank you for that. I have a lollipop for you afterwards, all right? He did good. He was on the spot there. I couldn't get that beginning there. Maybe you say, no, I'll quote Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. You can give many verses, and that's great. You might say, those verses contain some of the gospel. If you took them all together, probably, or the Romans Road, you got to give the bad news that we're lost in our sin, right? And sin has separated us from God. And that we need redeemed, or we need reconciled. But we can't do that. But God demonstrates, commends his love. And Christ took, and that's the gospel, right? Christ took our place, the cross, the empty tomb, salvation. You say, okay, I don't know the last time. I'm going to ask these four young ladies right up here. Say, well, we're only in high school, or we're high school sort of college, or we're working a job. When's the last time you have? You say, well, I don't know how to do that. That's scary sometimes. We can ask some of these folks here. Ask myself. The last time you, I don't just mean just talking to people, and that's it, but intentionally sharing the gospel. So I want to bring it home here in these last 15 minutes. So when you try to share the gospel with someone, do you always attempt to mention Calvary or the cross? When sharing the gospel with someone, do you intentionally try to share the resurrection as well and the empty tomb? What is the gospel? Does it need to have those ingredients? Now, we understand you can't always get in a conversation. Somebody may cut you off. But if you had the opportunity, if the Lord gave you the opportunity, you're eating lunch, if your workplace has a lunch break, or whatever, and you have the opportunity, and time is not a problem, and the person is willing to listen, and you have, well, you're like, wow, this doesn't happen much. I have the absolute opportunity to just share the gospel, and I'm not under time constraints, or they say, well, I'm sorry, thank you for stopping by, I got to go. I got a meal on the stove, that happens a lot, right, good door-to-door, or thank you, I've got some kids back here crying. You don't have a whole lot of opportunity all the time on those. But if you had the absolute opportunity, family's over for Easter, Thanksgiving, you go in and everybody's relaxing, falling asleep, watching football, and you sit down, and boy, your aunt or a cousin plops beside you, and you have a conversation, and all of a sudden, it's like the opportunity's right there. You got 20, 30 minutes, you could share the gospel. Do you ever mention the resurrection? Is that part of the gospel? not only did he die for us, but that he rose again. And that's part of the gospel. That's part of the good news. In fact, without that, not that we do it intentionally, is it really the good news? I want us to take a little journey right here. We've got about 15 minutes. I'm trying to not hold you as long. It's been a busy day for many of you. And we're in Acts chapter 1. You've been parked there a little while. Acts is part 2 of what? The book of Acts is part 2. What's part 1? Luke. So the same man, Luke, wrote the gospel, what we call the gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts. Same person. And the book of Acts begins right where Luke 24 ends. And it's just the next book, if we could put it that way, in a series. It's written by the same man, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's written to the same person, a man named Theophilus. You'll see that name in verse 1 of Acts 1, and you'll see that name in Luke 1. We're not 100% sure who that person is. I'm going to pick this up right now or I'll forget, all right? But looks like one of our young ladies has lost a gold earring, all right? So ladies, if this is yours, it's right up here afterwards, all right? There we go, all right? Thank you. Back to our Bible, all right? So Acts chapter 1, you've got Dr. Luke writes the gospel of Luke. The longest, by the way, of the Gospels, not by chapter, but by volume. He ends his gospel with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It continues right here in Acts chapter 1. In fact, take a look at the first three verses. Acts 1, 1 through 3. The former treatise, or we could say the former letter, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. There's what he's saying. I've already written you previously. In fact, my previous or former letter basically dealt with the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Exactly, the Gospel of Luke. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up. Okay, my gospel really took you up to the ascension. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 2-3, to whom also, this is a very important line, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That's where we get that title, sometimes called Passion Week. It's not sinful to call it that. I know the movie, The Passion. All right, that's where they would have got this. He showed himself alive after his passion, often referring to the week of Christ, anywhere from Palm Sunday through the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion and all of that. That's often called the Passion Week. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Wow. Now, you may not be confident in your apologetics of defending the resurrection, but the Bible says there are many infallible proofs. Wow, there's many, and they're infallible. It means they're without error. They're trustworthy, without contradiction. In fact, the resurrection had almost unlimited proofs in history. Wow, according to the Bible, he showed himself alive, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, so that's the introduction to the book that Luke, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is writing to a specific man, Theophilus. Who is he? I don't know. A Greek official, a Roman official, a man of means? We don't know. A man who's searching, a man who knows the Lord? We're not sure. And he writes this to him, and he picks up the story right here, 40 days later. We're on the 40th day, sometimes called Ascension Day. That's, in some denominations, that's a holiday. All right, go down into Lancaster County. A lot of the Mennonite, they're all, the work businesses are closed. It's called Ascension Day, all right? They're off that day. 40 days after Easter, 40 days after resurrection. That's the day Christ ascended, all right? And here it is. We pick up the story. Christ is about to ascend. We know that. I'm not going to continue reading that. He ascends up into heaven. The disciples are gazing, and thus begins, if you would, a new chapter as Christ is now gone back to heaven and is getting ready to send down the Holy Spirit and thus the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. So you say, okay, that's all great. What's the point? Here's my point. We're going to take a very quick journey, fast through a few chapters here, and all I want you to see is that anytime they're almost every time speaking, preaching, or sharing, you're going to see that the resurrection is almost always in it, in the gospel. It's never out of it. Okay, and it really, it has to be. And that may be an area that I can improve on and you can improve on. Maybe you say, well, I don't really ever get that far. You know, people cut you off or there's questions. I never really been able just to give the gospel in one setting and then say, all right, I what do you think? Got any questions? You know, a lot of times you're not always able to do that. So let's look. Let's pick it up. Here we go. Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching on what we call the day of Pentecost. He's already began preaching, and we come down to verse 22. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Remember, the audience is all Jewish. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up. Drop down to verse 31. He's talking then, he's actually going back to the Old Testament and giving a prophecy from David, who David was prophesying about the resurrection of the Messiah. And we pick it up in verse 31. He, that's David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up. Wherefore, we are all witnesses. And then you remember he gives what we would say the invitation. They say, what should we do? Repent, verse 38, and be baptized, every one of you. Wow. And we have what we would call the birth of the church. How about chapter 3? Chapter 3, Peter and John go into the temple to pray. There's a lame man there. Some of you know that chorus, a little song that's running through your mind right now. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. Well, what does Peter preach on? Look, let's pick up his sermon. Verse 13, chapter 3. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. Verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Wow. Every time they're preaching here, I mean, the resurrection is pretty central here. Look at verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of the prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And then what's the message there? Verse 19. Repent and be converted. And look at the very conclusion of the chapter, verse 26. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus. Now, I want this to get old or boring. Sometimes people, the more you turn, they stop looking. I don't want you to see this is central. How about chapter number 4? Chapter number 4. They get arrested. They say, hey, we told you not to speak about that guy's name anymore. We don't even want to say his name. We don't want to hear the name Jesus. Don't do that. Peter speaks up again. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man, talking about the man that was healed, stand here before you whole. Verse 12, many of you memorized it. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Wow, interesting. They get threatened, beaten a little bit, released. They praise the Lord. Look at the end of that chapter. Chapter 4, look at verse 33. This is the early believers. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Wow, we keep seeing that. And they're given who Jesus was. He was crucified. God hath raised him up. The resurrection. We are witnesses of that. Wow. Okay, that's pretty powerful stuff. How about chapter 5? Go to the end of chapter number 5. Again, they've been threatened. We want you guys to stop preaching in his name. We told you not to say anything about that name. We don't want to hear of that name anymore. Chapter 5, verse 30, 31. We're picking up sort of in the middle here, but the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we are his witnesses of these things. Wow. Again and again. Let's jump to chapter 7. Chapter 7 is Stephen. Stephen, the first martyr. Does he mention the resurrection? Not necessarily in his long Old Testament discourse, but you know, what does he say as he's being stoned? What causes them to actually be... this is really what causes them to stone him. At this point, they were angry, but when they got him outside there, they're yelling and screaming. What is... Stephen looks up and says, "I see the Son of Man." They know who that is. He's saying, "I see Jesus," verse 56, "standing on the right hand of God." Now, that means you... that's the... wow, he's not dead. He's in heaven. Wow. And they couldn't take it anymore. They grabbed the rocks and they stoned him to death. But what was Stephen saying? The resurrection of our Lord. And he's alive. I see him. He's there at the right hand of the Father. And of course, there's where Saul was, I'm going to wipe off anybody who believes in that. All right, and you see Paul. All right, how about chapter number 10 of Acts? Acts chapter 10. We must move quick. I've got just a few more references. Acts chapter 10. Here's Peter. Here's Cornelius. Here's the what we would say the first Gentile, non-Jew, as far as during the birth of the church. Peter goes to this man's house. The man has everybody ready. I'd love to have been there, right? Cornelius got all his workers. They're all sitting ready to go. They're quiet. They want to hear. All right? And what does Peter, as he preaches to them, notice part of the message. Chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the hands of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, verse 40, hath God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. All right, they're giving the gospel. They're preaching the gospel to Jews and Gentiles. And what's part of the gospel? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is central. Because it wasn't enough just to die on the cross. Christ is risen. He's victorious. And he can give remission or removal of sins. How about chapter 13 now? You say, okay, that was the disciples, that was Peter, that was the part of the 12. What about later? Well, what about the Apostle Paul now? The man who was Saul, whose name is changed to Paul, who becomes that great missionary. What did he preach? Well, his first recorded message is Acts 13. And he does an Old Testament history lesson as well. But I want you to notice what he draws as he draws the net. Okay, how do we know who he's talking about? Acts 13, verse 23. Speaking about David, of this man, of David's seed, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So we know he's talking about Jesus. Verse 28, and though they found no cause of death in him, Jesus, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. All right, we know he's talking about Jesus. Verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, Jesus, they took him down from the tree, and laid him in a sepulcher. But notice the next verse, 30. But God raised him from the dead. Verse 33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. Verse 34. And as concerning that, he raised him up from the dead. Verse 37. But he whom God raised again. Wow. Sometimes we say, well, I'm no Paul. I'm not Peter. I want to say the same Holy Spirit that was in Paul is the same Holy Spirit that's in you and me if we're saved. We have the whole Bible. They didn't even have that. The same power available to them, not as an apostle, some of the apostolic gifts, but the same power available to every one of us. But I want you to notice the central message as they gave the gospel, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Savior, died, was buried, and rose again. Because if not, the gospel doesn't make any sense. There's no hope, there's no purpose without that. And how does Paul conclude his message? What's his invitation? Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hey, they're drawing the net. They're showing the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's based on his resurrection, and that only through Jesus Christ is remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, or justification. Wow, whether it's Jew or Gentile, you're seeing it repeatedly. How about chapter 14, verse number 7? What did Paul and Barnabas preach? Verse 7 of chapter 14. And there they preached the what? 14:7. There they preached the what? The gospel. You don't have to ask what that is. They preached the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. How about chapter 17? We must hurry here. We may only get to this one and be done tonight. Chapter 17. How about what when Paul went into these cities? Did he try to woo them with his philosophy? Did he try to just be incredibly argumentative? And what did Paul preach? Did he try to lower himself and compromise? Did he try to bring in and say, well, let's see what the Greeks are attracted to. Let's see what the Romans like. They're not going to, well, what did he do? No, he didn't do any of that. Chapter 17, verse 2. And Paul's, as manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging, verse 3, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. But the resurrection is always in there. And that Jesus is Christ, and one of the proofs of that is the resurrection. That's the proof of who Jesus Christ is and that he can save you. Later in chapter 17, Paul goes to Athens. How did the philosophers know what he was preaching on or talking about there? The word came back to them, verse 18. Chapter 17, verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Like, who's this crazy guy? Who's that new guy down at the marketplace? Have you heard about him? He's preaching this man named Jesus and the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe like many people today. You just die. You just live and then you die. If you know anything about Greek philosophy, they all had their methods of this is the purpose of life. Deny yourself or indulge yourself or just be wise. And who's this babbler down here preaching this guy and the resurrection? Well, let's hear what he has to say. And they bring him up to the elevated hill, Mars Hill, and Paul, wow, what's he going to do? Is he going to try to impress him? Is he going to say, this crowd is not going to believe the resurrection? They're going to think this is ridiculous. He preaches to them. It's a little bit different type of message. You've been with us if you've been in adult Sunday school. But what does Paul do as he concludes the message? He draws the net. Let's pick it up at the end, verse 31. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he, God, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that's Jesus, whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And what was the reaction? Verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, well, here, oh, forget it. That guy, get out of here. He just keeps talking about the resurrection. Like, we're going to be resurrected one day. Hmm? He's trying to say that there's more to life than just life. We're done with him. Others said, well, we'll hear you more about that. But I want you to know what he's speaking about the resurrection. He's speaking about Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And that God has commanded all men to repent because Christ died for all men. And we're all of one race and we're all of one blood. And that one day we're going to all stand before God. And we're going to give an account, and there will be a resurrection. But that wasn't something foreign. I mean, that was the gospel. My challenge tonight, and our time is really up, could you read more about it? You could. You could go to Acts 25 when Paul stands on trial. You know what he talks about a lot? He brings up the resurrection. How about when he stood before King Agrippa? Guess what he says? He starts, I preach, and he brings up the resurrection. And that's when Festus says, Paul, you're crazy, out loud. Stop, you're mad. What made him say that? Because Paul's talking about the resurrection. Because Roman philosophy and Greek philosophy, like a lot of people today, we're here, we live, we die, it's over. You're not accountable to anybody. You do what you want to do. If you think it's right, do it. Don't judge anybody. Be tolerant. You're not answerable to a creator. You're just here. But the gospel that was preached was sin, separation, Christ, the cross, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there isn't a time of accountability. But Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. And most of the time, stop! Get that crazy guy out of here. That's when he said, King Agrippa, I know you know these things. And I know that you know all about what I'm talking about. Right? And that sort of, you trying to persuade me to be a Christian? All right, break things up. And you might find that when you preach the gospel and share the gospel with someone, when you get to the resurrection, it may break up too. You're like, okay, I listened to you long enough. Okay, thank you. I got to go. Research it yourself. Go through the Bible. Go through the Pauline epistles to the churches that were started. 1 Corinthians 15. Wow, the resurrection chapter to the church at Corinth. Go, and you'll see that that is central. In fact, is it really the gospel if you're not including the resurrection? Again, it doesn't mean we're doing it intentionally. We may just not think about it. We may be so focused on the gospel as the good news that Jesus died for us. That's true. And in our minds, we know he resurrected. But not to someone who's never heard it. Not to someone who... Don't assume that they know what you're talking about when you say the gospel. Wow, everybody knows about Easter. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. In fact, I can't remember who I was talking to. It was either somebody in here or it was during the revival week. It may have been one of you in here where they said something about Easter to somebody and the person's like, what are you talking about? No, I know it was. I'm not sure who it was, but somebody, it was at the pastor's fellowship, I think. Somebody called this particular pastor and they wanted, oh no, it was Gary Myers. Gary Myers said a couple years ago that someone called and wanted to use his property. If you've ever been to Biblical Baptist, they have a large property of grass, beautiful, you know, a couple acres there. And somebody wanted to use their field to do an Easter egg hunt on Easter because the local field had flooded. And Gary's trying to say, well, you know, we don't want to be, you know, that's not really what the whole purpose is. And so but the man, and I think Gary says, I just asked him, do you know what Easter is? And the man's like, sure, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah. No, that's not what do you mean it's not what Easter's about? You know, Easter egg hunts. So you don't understand. Do you know what Easter is? And the man had no idea. Gary Byers said, I'm not shocked, but I was like, you don't know what that this is like of Jesus. Huh, I have no idea what you're talking about. I thought Easter's just, you know, Easter bunnies and chocolate and Easter bunny hunts. Never heard, I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, cross, what are you talking about? We may say, not in America. Yeah, absolutely. So the gospel is talking about sin. Can't leave sin out. That's why Christ died on the cross. Now's a tremendous time to share the gospel. Everybody's aware of Easter, at least. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Start asking people that. Hey, we had a great church service yesterday. Well, I don't go to church. Man, don't you love Easter? Do you know what Easter is? Jesus died. Do you know why Jesus died on the cross? I don't know. Well, I guess for sins, right? You say, well, whose sins? Was it for his sins? Well, I don't know. Engage people. No, you know, it wasn't for his sins. He never sinned. Why do you think he had to die then? I mean, I guess. Can you do good works to get to heaven? If you can, how come he died? I don't know. And people get uncomfortable and maybe they try to change the subject. Give the gospel. Do you know that Jesus didn't just die? Do you know that he rose again? Do you believe that? I believe that. Where am I? I mean, that's what Easter is. You know that, right? The resurrection. The resurrection? I never heard that word. I mean, Jesus rose. You really believe that? The gospel, the good news, is the entire story of the Lord Jesus Christ up through the resurrection and even his ascension. I want to challenge you. Here's your challenge for you and for me this week. This week, in the next 7 days. No one will know it unless it's between you and the Lord. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to. No one's forcing you to do anything. It's purely optional. Don't accept the challenge and tell the Lord this unless you intend to do it. What about this week? Make a goal to pass out a certain number of tracts, gospel tracts, between you and the Lord. For some of you, it could be one. Some of you, you do it on a regular basis, maybe seven. Some of you, maybe, you pick the number. It's really not that important. All right, Lord. I mean, don't just do it haphazardly. All right, Pastor Boyer challenged me to do that. Sure, I could just do it out of duty. But I'm talking about intentionally handing it to a person, all right? So not just laying it on a table. Just see if you weren't willing to do that. Pray about it. All right, Lord, I'm gonna intentionally this week grab a bunch of gospel tracts from either foyer and intentionally say, God, give me an opportunity every day, maybe one a day, whatever, between you and the Lord. Second challenge, ask the Lord for an opportunity or look for the opportunity, if at all possible. Say, Lord, I really would love an opportunity this week to share my testimony with someone. Ask about it. See if the Lord provides you that opportunity. I really would like, of course, if you share your testimony, if you're saved, I would assume that in that story you're going to be able to get to the gospel. All right? And when it was, and share your testimony. Ask for that opportunity. You know the Lord would have you do that. That's a blessing. Maybe you'll have an opportunity even tonight. Maybe not. But you have to be looking for those or you might miss it. So I'm giving you a couple challenges. One is a certain number of gospel tracts to be intentional about passing out. This week, between now and next Sunday. Number two is the Lord, I'd really love an opportunity to share my testimony of how I came to know Jesus Christ with someone, Lord. I don't know who it would be. Give me an opportunity. Number three is see if you can determine this week with the Lord's help of giving you an opportunity at least once, or maybe more, of sharing the gospel with someone. Now, that could come as a result of handing a gospel tract. And then they may ask questions or want to know more, and that may all be the same one. But to be intentional about you personally, I mean verbally, has anyone ever showed you from the Bible how you can know your sins are forgiven? Have peace with God? You can word it any way you want. Has anyone ever shared with you, do you know what the gospel is? Do you mind if I take a few minutes and share the gospel? Again, you're just looking for opportunities, just sort of like Brother Caleb mentioned about, God, I want to come alongside you. I know what God's heart is. I know what God desires. So, God, I know there's folks out there. It's sort of that same challenge. Same challenge Mark Kitchell gave us at the end of missions conference about intentionally spreading seed. All right? I mean, the same challenge as you hear again and again. All right? But taking God on that by faith and intentionally, maybe you need to write it down because you'll forget. You'll forget even tomorrow that you said you were going to try to do this. Maybe you write it down. It's on the mirror wherever you shave or brush your teeth or get ready for school. Maybe you put it on the car because you drive. Oh, I forgot I was going to. Lord, I'm looking for opportunities, Lord. Look at me an opportunity to do this, Lord. Wow. And when the Lord gives it to you, whoa, be ready. Be ready to share the gospel and share and be intentional about including the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why the gospel is the gospel? Because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. All right? You can read the scriptures. You can do a little. Maybe you find a buddy here and you want to be accountable. Some of you know if you get somebody else knows about it, you know, got another man in here. Iron sharpens iron. All right. You say, all right, I'm going to take it up. You want to do it? Get back tonight. Let's do it. A teenager. Hey, let's. I'm going to check back on Wednesday night. Now you said you were going to try it. All right. Let's keep each other accountable. Now you don't have to do any of that stuff. But that does help a person sometimes and motivate you in the things of the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to conclude tonight in prayer. Again, Lord bless you. Thank you for coming out on Resurrection Sunday. I hope you have a blessed week. The Lord could return. Our life could end. We might have many opportunities to share the gospel. We never know this week just exactly what's going to happen. But let's be intentional about sharing the gospel. And let's be intentional about sharing the entire gospel, which includes the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We don't have to pray and ask you if it's your will that we share the gospel. We know it is. You've already declared it in the Bible. Go into all the world and preach, proclaim the gospel to every creature. Lord, we know that's your heartbeat. We know from Acts 1:8 that we have the power, the ability to do that through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So, Lord, any excuse even that we can't talk, we've never done that, Lord, we need to rely on you. It's always you anyways. So, Lord, may we walk by faith. There are those in here who make that a regular habit, and they do pass out gospel tracts regularly, and they do pray and look for opportunities, and we thank you for that. May we continue to do that, Lord, in humility. But there may be some, Lord, who have never, ever, all the years they've been saved, never really ever shared their testimony with someone outside of church. never ever really intentionally sought to share the gospel and rely on you to help them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the opportunities that no doubt you will give us this week. Lord, maybe be ready even tonight, perhaps tomorrow. But we love you. We're so thankful for the gospel good news. We're so grateful for our salvation. If there be anybody here tonight, like a Buddy Kramer, who came, who heard, who listened, folks prayed, but yet resisted. And it was pretty obvious, Lord, perhaps from their life that they don't know the Lord. Everything is more of a forced religion, a fake smile, no real joy, no real peace in their heart. Lord, I pray that they would come to trust you as Savior and in humility receive you and have their life transformed. Lord, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the empty tomb. Now may we walk daily in light of the resurrection and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed evening. Lord willing, we'll see you back on Wednesday night.